Pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we come before you this morning and ask that your Spirit would move in us. May the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all of our hearts be good and pleasing to you, the rock and redeemer of our souls. Amen. You may be seated. What is faith? We talk about our faith. We talk about, different faiths. But what is faith? Is it just a collection of dogmatic, doctrinal beliefs? Is that our faith? Is our faith just a series of spiritual disciplines and habits that we engage in? Is that faith? Doctrinal beliefs, dogmatic beliefs are important. Spiritual habits are important. But I think faith is better described in terms of story. Story is universal, isn't it? I mean, ever since the beginning of time, stories have been told. We are invited into the great story, the story of Scripture, the story that is above all stories, the story that begins in a garden and that has its culmination in another garden at the end of this story. But when we culminate in the last garden, it is only the beginning of the story that will be told forever and ever and ever. That's the way C.S. Lewis ends his Chronicles of Narnia. In the last pages of the last battle, he speaks of all the life that has come before as just the title page of the greatest story that is yet to be written. Story is something we can all relate to, right? What if I were to say there once was a man who lived in a quite comfortably in a nice small village? He loved his time there. He had his family and his friends. But one day this man encounters a strange man, an eccentric man, who calls him to an adventure. And with a ragtag group of fellow travelers, he enters into an adventure that transforms his life, an adventure where he encounters evil, where he has to screw up his own courage and do the right thing, where evil is ultimately defeated, and then the man returns back home, a changed man to his old village. And through his experiences, he is now wiser, he is now bolder, and he is now able to bless others. That's a pretty familiar tale, isn't it? I mean, that could be that basic description of Bilbo Baggins or Frodo Baggins. It could be Luke Skywalker. It could be Odysseus. It could be 1,000 other men from 1,000 other stories. Change the gender, and all of a sudden, it's Alice in Wonderland, or it's Dorothy in Oz, or Lucy in Narnia. You see, this story is a common story pattern. There was a writer named Joseph Campbell. I've spoken about this before. He wrote a book called The Hero with 1,000 Faces, and he discusses this idea that there's this basic archetype of a mythological story that has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And it follows this basic pattern. Joseph Campbell calls this the hero's journey, and he writes this: the hero ventures forth from the world of common day into a region of supernatural wonder. Fabulous forces are there encountered, and a decisive victory is won. The hero comes back from this mysterious adventure and the power to bestow boons on his fellow man. George Lucas openly admits to using this as he created Star Wars. There's a popular writer and producer of television shows now named Dan Harmon, who did things like the adult cartoon Rick and Morty and the TV show Community, who also uses this basic type in every episode that he's ever written. This is a common storytelling device. Why does it resonate with us? We even see it in the pages of Scripture. David has a hero's journey. And in today's Old Testament passage, we see the beginning of Abram's journey. Abram encounters God. He goes on a journey, right? Abram goes on both a real physical journey. He travels from Ur and ultimately ends up in Canaan, right? And Abram becomes a changed man. He encounters evil. He has to screw up his courage. He makes mistakes. Ultimately, Abram does the right thing, and his name is changed. He is blessed by God. He's blessed with a son, and through his son, all the world becomes blessed in the nation that is born. And the epistle today in Hebrews, we read about Abraham. We read about others that embarked on similar heroes' journeys. The author of Hebrews writes, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." And then he goes on and he talks about Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Sarah and the great faith that they all showed as they went on their journey having encountered Yahweh and answered his call. This is our journey as well. This is the journey of faith. It is scary to step out of the comfort of our homes. It's scary to step out of the comfort of what we know to be familiar. But nevertheless, this is the call that we are called to. Now, here's the difference, though, in the biblical journey from Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. And in this secular version, what we see is the hero always returns back to their home. Bilbo goes back to the Shire, right? We see this over and over and over again. Dorothy comes back to Kansas. Lucy comes back from Narnia to England. And the journey of faith, our destination isn't to go back where we came from. But our journey takes us to the promised country, the promised land of the new heavens and the new earth. And I love the way that Lewis describes this in the Narnia books and in his other writings, that this world is a copy. It's the shadow land of what is to come. So in a sense, we do return back to where we come from, but it's actually the real version. You see, Noonan and Coweta County and this little slice of heaven that is Georgia is a beautiful, wonderful place. The Chattahoochee River is gorgeous, mostly. The hills and the mountains around us really are beautiful. But it's just a shadow of the country that we are made for. It's just a copy of what we'll encounter after we go on the hero's journey of faith, and we end up in the destination of what we are called to. This is what the author of Hebrew ends with in today's passage. He says this: "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Listen, it says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You and I are invited onto a journey. And our journey isn't to go out and then come back here to this place. Our journey is to go out and make a difference for the kingdom of God, where we will return to the real country, the real place that we were designed for, that we were made for. We also have to remember, though, that we are minor heroes in a major story. We are minor characters, and the real hero is not us, but the real hero is Jesus Christ. He is the one whom we follow. Remember David and his band of mighty men? We're not David, but we are called to join in and be one of the mighty men that is fighting alongside him. Christ and his story is the real story. But nonetheless, Christ invites you and I to take our minor little role and to step out into the hero's journey and to join our story with his. But here is the lie that the world has succumbed to. The enemy wants to domesticate us. The enemy wants us to be content in our air-conditioned houses, in our comfortable homes, in our neighborhoods, going about a story that has no real impact. We have to fight against that lie. Why does the world flock to go see DC and Marvel movies? Why do we flock to go see Star Wars movies and other movies where heroes go out on adventures and save the day? Because that's the longing of our hearts. We want to be a part of something bigger. We want to be a part of an adventure. We want to be a part of something that truly matters. But stories like that are scary. And it's easy to sit in a movie theater and watch aliens attack New York City from the comfort of your chair while eating popcorn than it is to actually step out in the adventure and encounter the forces of evil and darkness that are in the world. Satan wants you to sit in the chair and eat the popcorn. Christ is calling you to take up arms and to fight for his kingdom alongside him in a very real and a very dangerous way. But it is good, and it is the only way of life. Via the other way, the way of comfort, the way of being domesticated, is a way of death. It might be a comfortable death, but it's death nonetheless. We are called to step out of discomfort, or step out of comfort into discomfort, to step out of safety and to step into adventure. There's one more little piece of Joseph Campbell's story arc, and that is that the initial call to adventure is almost always refused in these stories. Remember when Gandalf first comes to Bilbo, Bilbo says no. When Luke encounters Ben Kenobi in the deserts of Tatooine, Ben Kenobi says, "You must learn the ways of the Force if you're to come with me to Alderaan." And Luke says, "Alderaan? I'm not going to Alderaan. I've got to go home. It's late. I'm in for it as it is." And Obi-Wan responds, "I need your help, Luke. She," meaning Princess Leia, "needs your help. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing." Luke says, "I can't get involved. I've got work to do. It's not that I like the Empire. I hate it, but there's nothing I can do about it right now. It's such a long way from here. This is the lie of the enemy. We hate Satan. We hate evil. We hate the fallen, broken nature of the world, but we are so convinced that we are such a small player that we can't do anything. And so we say, I hate the Empire, but I've got chores to do. I've got things I've got to do around the house. But friends, we are called to be heroes, even if it's a minor hero in the story of Jesus Christ. You are called to adventure. You are called to change the world. And change the world we have to do. Lives depend on it. Not figuratively, but literally, lives depend on our participation in the gospel. This is the way God has designed it. God designed his gospel, his news. God designed his world to be one of participation. He has equipped you and he has called you. Listen to what Jesus says in the gospel today. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now here's the call. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he says, stay dressed for your actions and keep your lamps burning. This is a call to arms. This is a call to participate in the greatest adventure that we can imagine. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sell all your things. Do you know the story of St. Francis? Love St. Francis's story. St. Francis is so captivated by Christ, so captivated with following him, and so he was so entrenched in the wealthy playboy lifestyle that he had lived that when he comes to the place where he has to make a choice, he literally strips naked in front of his father and others and stands there and says, I abandon it all. None of us have to strip naked. None of us have to sell everything unless God calls you to. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to go and become a missionary in China or Africa unless God calls you to. But what you are called to do is to realize that everything that you own actually is owned by God. You have to understand that every resource you have, your time, your money, your talents, your gifts, anything doesn't belong to you, but belongs to God. And if you call yourself a Christian, if you claim the name of Christ, then you are claiming to have stepped forth into the hero's journey, into the journey of faith, where you are hoping to receive the promise of eternal life, of the new heavens and new earth. And in taking on that journey, you are saying, I want to bring as many people with me as possible. That's why you're gifted. That's why God has wired you the way he has. It is even why he has allowed you to experience the hard things that you've experienced, because God takes even those hard, broken things and he makes them gifts that you can use to save others. Now, don't forget, we don't do the saving. Christ does the saving, but we can take the fellow travelers, we can point them to Jesus, and we can allow them to be saved alongside of us who are saved by this great mercy of Jesus Christ. The journey isn't easy. There is evil and there is hardship, but it is so well worth it. Folks, we live in a demystified, disenchanted world right now. We don't look up at the sunset in awe. We don't look at the world through the lens of the mystical and the magical, the way that somebody might have in the 12th century or the 13th century or even in the times of Abraham. We look through a world with scientific eyes, results and products of the Enlightenment and modernity. But I want to invite you into a re-enchanted world. Elisha prays for his servant's eyes to be opened. And when his eyes are opened, he sees the army of the Lord all around. This is the world we live in. We don't live in a world that is only occupied by the things that we see. We live in an enchanted world where there is angels and there are demons. There is good and there is evil. There is a great king who is bigger and greater than anything we can ever imagine. And there is a very real enemy greater than anything that we can imagine. But our God is bigger than the enemy. Our journeys in faith will not end in our destruction. Our journeys in faith will end in everlasting life with the enemy defeated and the world set right and every tear wiped away and every pain washed off. This is what we long for. This is what we hope for. In the meantime, we walk in faith, knowing that we can trust God to deliver on his promise. And we set out on our own little hero's journey, bringing as many as we can with us in this little band of brothers and sisters of the church. And this is what I want to end in. The hero's journey is never meant to be done alone. Your journey of faith isn't meant to be done as an individual. It's meant to be done in the company of other travelers, other adventurers. We need one another. This may not be the Fellowship of the Rings, but it is the Fellowship of St. Barnabas. And so we walk in fellowship here, doing what we can do, living on the adventure of faith. And my prayer is that those in Coweta County and the surrounding communities that are dead to sin come alive in faith and join us here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.